Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I tell you what a great morning drive. I mean, despite the fact that parts of downtown had still had some icy roads, and those stop signs near Skyview High School still had some slick intersections there, but luckily it was 30 in the morning. I was like, I do not want to, you know, use my brakes too much right now, because the last thing you want to do when you're on ice is use your brakes, because you think I'm on ice, I might slip, I'm going to use my brakes. No, that's the worst thing you can do. Just try to let it slow normally. Just try to let it slow, just let it go, slow down on its own. But anyway, what a great drive, though. I had never driven the Billings Bypass. So for those of you outside Billings, so take our friends in Butte, for example, listening on 1370 KXTL right now. So I've said this before. The population of the Billings Heights, I think it was Representative Larry Brewster when he was still on the Billings City Council. He told me the Billings Heights alone, population-wise, is the size of Butte. That's crazy when you think about it, right? I mean, the Heights could be its own city. In some ways, it kind of is, right? But anyway, so I live on the West End, and our producer, Caden, who's doing a great job for us, he lives in the Heights. And so, and I'll joke, man, if you got to drive from the West End to the Heights, I'll joke that, well, I got to drive to South Lewistown today because it'll take a while. Not so bad at 30 in the morning, but when you start mixing in traffic, it can take a while. Especially if you're driving a kid to a flag football game and he doesn't put on his shoes before you leave the house. Okay, we got to go back to the house and then drive all. Anyway, that was a funny story from back in the day. But anyway, now they have this bypass that connects the west end of Billings, the Zimmerman Trail. It's been there for a while. I've seen the road. I see people coming out at the intersection of Zimmerman Trail and the highway there right by the airport. But I've never actually driven down the bypass. And so, anyway, our producer, Caden, like many of you, his car would not start this morning, given the severe cold that is still out there. So I was like, I'll come pick you up. And, he lives up in the Heights. And I'm like, let's take the Billings Bypass. Or what do they call it? What did you say they call it now, Caden? Like the Skyline or something like that? Anyway, what a cool drive. I felt like I was back in real Montana again. I don't know about you, but for those of you that live in town, I'm tired of living in town. I want to live out in the country. Now, it's for what I do, you know, doing a radio show and having to be in a studio. I guess I kind of got to live in town. And, you know, you can't really afford the nicest places out there in the country, at least when you're getting started in the business. And so, but it was a great drive. It's like, man, you go, you actually see pine trees. You got rolling hills. I was like, what a cool drive. I feel like I'm in real Montana again. And then, boom, before you know it, you pop out. There's the Great Harvest Church right there, and then Skyview High School. And it's like, that was a great morning drive. All right. Let's see. We got a lot to talk about here this morning. Let me see. Where should we start? Elon Musk, Doge, and those stupid online training sessions that you have to do. Hey, Joe, in the Army, even Elon Musk identifies with you. We'll start there right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine and some increasing cloudiness across the region through the day today, high temperature readings a boost up into the mid-20s. For tonight, with cloudy skies, snow shower chances building into the Bozeman area. Low temperatures from 15 in Bozeman, near 10 in Billings. And we'll see areas of light snow on Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
The House Armed Services Committee held a hearing Wednesday on protecting American interests in an era of convergent threats, which the hearing chairman, Republican Mike Rogers of Alabama, described this way.
The most challenging threat environment since World War II.
Much of the focus was on the growing alliance between China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran, which led to this warning from Democrat Adam Smith of Washington.
We have a group of adversaries that are coming together with the common purpose, basically, of reducing the influence of the U.S. in the world.
Witness Dr. Merrick Carlin of Johns Hopkins University testified that the U.S. holds one big advantage.
America's unparalleled network of allies and partners sets it apart from every other great power in history.
Rogers advocated for increased military spending and added,
the decisions we make in the months ahead could be the difference between war and peace.
Kipling Rescue, Fox News.
Guy Fieri, how do you pronounce that guy's name? Either way, he says this is Montana's number one restaurant. Where is it? Which restaurant is it? We've got the answer. Go to MontanaTalks.com. I've been there, and man, do they have some really good burgers and fries, too. All right, what else do we got for you? A whole host of stuff. What was the coldest Montana town this week? Plus, this one's interesting. You can look at old Bozeman stuff that isn't there anymore after all the change. MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's actually get to a caller here first, and then I'll tell you about Elon Musk and those stupid online training sessions and seminars that so many of you have to do. You know, I saw a great headline from the dailycaller.com talking about how Pete Hegseth is already making our military great again. A great headline from the dailycaller.com. And yeah, we're seeing it out there. But man, you want to make the military great again? Stop it with these stupid annual, you know, training sessions, like where it's just paperwork, the same old brief, and then all the online training. For Pete's sake, stop it already. My goodness. I tell you, well, before I get into that rat, let's go. We got a caller on the phone lines already. I don't know if is it Gary in Billings? It says Jerry in Billings, but I'm assuming maybe it's Gary in Billings. We'll see. Is it Jerry or Gary on the phone lines here?
Jerry.
All right. Hey, good to hear from you. Yeah, looks like you've got the same question I've got this morning.
Well, yeah, I haven't heard anything on about Cash Patel, how his nomination is going.
Yeah. Yeah, Cash Patel is President Trump's nominee to be the FBI director. And, yeah, I mean, look, it's great that Tulsi Gabbard got confirmed yesterday. It sounds like RFK Jr. is on track. We got Pete Hegseth in there. You know, the AG is in place. But I'm with you. Like, there are blinking lights everywhere. That's what Biden's FBI director said when it comes to the threats facing this country. So what's the holdup on getting the FBI director in place? We need Cash Patel almost more than a lot of these other nominees.
Oh, yeah, by far we do. I mean, it's stupid that they can't get him. Everybody else is getting in, but they can't. They just hate him so bad they can't stand themselves.
Well, they fear Cash Patel like they despise what Elon Musk is doing with the Department of Government Efficiency right now, because he's going to root out the rot and the corruption and the waste. And this is how the Democrats play their political games and fund their political buddies and attack their political enemies. They don't want somebody like Cash Patel in there, an experienced prosecutor, an experienced public defender who's also served alongside some of the best of our military. That's the last guy they want running the FBI.
So who's holding it up? Is it the two women from Maine and Alaska, or what's the story, or
good,
do you know?
That's a good question. You know what? In the interest of time, I'm going to ask Grok, which is Elon Musk's AI platform, what's the holdup with Cash Patel's confirmation? Let me just send that message real fast. As I understand, I think it's going to move out of Judiciary Committee today, and then that will tee up a floor vote. So I believe it's going to happen. It's just a matter of, does it happen before the weekend or does it have to happen after the weekend? One of the big concerns right now is apparently 20 of these senators are supposed to go on a congressional delegation trip to Munich for the Munich Security Conference. And so
you know, a lot of us are saying, hey, whoa, 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 everybody stay in town, get the job done, get President Trump's team in place. You know, whether it's the Munich Security Conference or any other security conference, you can talk about security all day long. We need the people in place who are actually going to help with security. And that means getting Kash Patel in place. And by the way, speaking of Munich, Jerry, I don't know if it was in the Fox News update at the top of the hour. I was refilling coffee and I didn't have the app on. But there was what they think was a terrorist attack in Munich overnight. It looked like another one of those incidences where somebody drove a vehicle through a group full of people. So you've got a major security related concern that just took place in Munich. 20 senators want to go to Munich. It's like, hey, why don't you get our FBI director in place first so we can start actually securing this country? And then you can do your little, you know, conversations later. That's my take, though.
Well, that's the whole thing. They need to stay here and get the job done instead of going down and taking a vacation in the wintertime. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue, well, these are important conversations with our European folks.
They're going to Germany. It's not. I mean, that just sounds like a vacation that they don't want to have to deal with the press.
Yeah, they want to go and, oh, look at how important I am and look at me with all these key, stay in Washington, get the job done, get President Trump's team in place. That's the most important thing right now.
Well, if they all leave, I mean, except for the Republicans, can't President Trump put him in automatically?
Well,
what's that called?
A recess appointment. Like, could they put the whole thing into recess? You know, since all these guys, if all these guys end up leaving, that reminds me. I need to do. I'm a little because I had the nice morning drive this morning. You know, driving the Skyway. Caden tells me that new Billings bypass is called the Skyway. I had such a nice morning drive, and I was listening in on, you know, some of the news while I was driving, but listening in doesn't match the speed at which I can pull information through various sources on my computer. But what I need to do, I need to go and look at the Fox News Radio website to see what the latest is on Kash Patel. Let's see.
I haven't heard anything. You know, when they have that on, I've not heard anything on it. So, I mean, that's why I was calling you. I thought maybe you might have some inside information.
No, I appreciate it. I saw a tweet from, and Jerry, thanks for the call. I saw a tweet from Chad Pergram, is like the Fox News congressional correspondent. And I saw a tweet from him. By the way, the Grok AI platform didn't have like the easiest answer, so I'll just skip that one. But I think in his tweet, Chad Pergram talked about, let's see. Well, when Chad Pergram mentioned how Tulsi Gabbard got confirmed, RFK Jr. is on track to be confirmed, everybody who was replying to Chad Pergram's tweet, including me, including many of you, were saying, yeah, but what about Kash Patel? There's blinking lights everywhere. We need Kash Patel in place.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Too many people, including some who should know better, describe international trade flows as if they were like plumbing and water pipes. That's not just oversimplifying, it's misleading. And it takes more than a few breaths of air to explain why. One of the most important differences between economic flows between countries and those of liquids and pipes is the different currencies involved. When we buy imports from foreigners, they receive the dollars we pay them, which they can then use to buy the exports we sell. When those flows are not in balance, as the trade deficit of the U.S. demonstrates, that leaves excess dollars in the hands of foreigners. What happens at that point is varied, and it has nothing to do with plumbing. Too many dollars make them cheaper, yielding a weaker dollar. But the most common use of excess dollars is to invest them in American capital. In fact, a trade deficit can only be maintained if the so-called capital account surplus goes with it. It's a beneficial side of trade deficits that few people notice. I'm Patrick Bart.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Democrats are doing what they can to counter President Trump. They've protested outside of federal agencies, which are closed down. They've held the Senate in session all night to contest the confirmation of Budget Director Russ Vogt. Democrats used to have only one target. That was President Trump. Quote, they have no rudder. They have no vision. They have no clear leader, observed House Speaker Mike Johnson. The only message they have is anti-President Trump. but opponents evolve. The archenemy of Batman was always the Joker, but the Penguin, Riddler, and Catwoman were worthy foes too, and Democrats now have a new nemesis in Elon Musk. Democrats are peppering him with inflammatory rhetoric. Democratic Massachusetts Representative Ayanna Pressley called Musk a, quote, godless, lawless billionaire. Democratic New Jersey Representative LaMonica McIver declared, quote, we will not take this blank from Donald Trump and Elon Musk. Quote, he is a low-down, dirty, no-good person that, along with President Trump, cannot be trusted. So Democratic California Representative Maxine Waters. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up. We're a great team, but the flu is dominating. The good news is the human we're protecting just got his flu shots. That means all of us antibodies have strong new gear that will help us fight and defend against the flu. We must win so that our human can stay healthy and help protect the people he cares about most.
Let's work as a team to defend against the flu. Gear up with a flu shot to help protect yourself and others and reduce your risk of being sick or hospitalized with the flu. Learn more at GetMyFluShot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordblonde. The former Wyoming Game and Fish Director has been tapped to lead the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service by President Trump, adding another Western leader to its list of nominations. Our network's Rachel Gable has more.
Brian Nesvik retired from his post at the Wyoming Game and Fish Director in early 2024 and returned to the ranch near Pinedale. He's now Trump's nomination to lead the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Nesvik is particularly well-versed in grizzly bear management, something Wyoming Stock Growers Executive Jim Magagna said is positive.
Well, that certainly is a tremendous blessing for Wyoming and for the West. I mean, he was unusual in his ability to work with us. He also manages the family ranch, so he's got that background, his wife's family's ranch, and been doing that. I may question him why he's willing to give up the ranch to go to D.C., but I'm thrilled that he's doing it.
Magagna said endangered species protections, when not needed to preserve the species, only become a hindrance to good management of wildlife and other uses on public and private lands. And this is something Nesvik understands.
So many of the issues out here that we deal with and that impact our industry are related to endangered species, to wildlife management, and to, frankly, to federal interference in our wildlife management. And so having someone back there who understands that the state wildlife agencies are best equipped to manage our wildlife.
Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon also applauded Nesvik's nomination, saying his knowledge of the challenges facing Western states will ensure Wyoming has a seat at the table when engaging with the federal government on issues.
Thanks, Rachel. Nesvik's career with the Wyoming Game and Fish spanned some 30 years.
Ranchers, this Thursday, February 13th, it's the 37th annual Whitcup Angus Production Sale at Glasgow Stockyards, Glasgow, Montana. Selling this year, 86 registered yearling Angus bulls plus 100 commercial yearling Angus heifers. Remember, bulls winter free until May 1st. Lunch at 11:30, sale time 1 o'clock. You can also view sale and bid online at frontierlivesale.com or cattleusa.com. For more sale information, visit whitcupangus.com.
Sale season's here again, and there are a lot of black-hided Angus bulls on the market, but not all of them are registered. Why take the risk? Don't gamble on unproven genetics. Invest wisely with registered, powered by Angus bulls. Backed by the power of the American Angus Association and 80 million data points, registered Angus bulls give you the confidence in your buying decisions. Don't buy an imposter. Look for the registration number. Buy the power. Buy registered Angus bulls.
Well, this week I was in Salt Lake City, Utah, attending the 79th National Association of Conservation Districts annual convention. There are more than 3,000 conservation districts across the nation made up of farmers, ranchers, and landowners. And for Massachusetts cranberry farmer Kim LaFleur, who just wrapped up her year of service as president of the National Association of Conservation Districts, all of the issues they work on start at the local level.
And this convention is the annual gathering of like-minded people who are interested in advocating and actually doing the boots on the ground work to get conservation on the ground. The energy in the audience is amazing. When you bring a bunch of like-minded people together from all walks of life, from all different experiences, farming practice styles, from everything from the most rural of America to urban, as well as our territories, it really just is an excellent opportunity to bring ideas and idea sharing together.
I'll continue to share more of the conversations had at this year's NACD convention in Salt Lake City. I'm Wayne Nordlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, thanks to Jerry and Billings for calling in. That's the question everybody has is, what about Cash Patel? What about Cash Patel? We have got to get Cash Patel as our FBI director. There are too many threats facing this country, internally and externally. And then, of course, now what looks like a terrorist attack in Munich. And remember, it's the Munich Security Conference that may be what holds up Cash Patel's confirmation process, because apparently 20 senators are scheduled to attend that security conference. Well, you know what? It's only Thursday. Get the job done. And then if you want to go to Munich, well, get Cash Patel across the finish line and President Trump's other nominees, and then you can go to Munich or come see us in Glendive tomorrow. I mean, you take your pick. Go wherever you want. You know, for all we care. But just get the job done first. Appreciate that call. Yeah, I pulled up the tweet that I had. This was from about 11 or 12 hours ago. Chad Pergram reported this. The U.S. Senate is set to confirm RFK Jr. at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time this morning. They're also going to vote to confirm Rollins as Secretary of Agriculture. And then let's see, that's the new Senate schedule for Thursday, confirmation of the Kennedy nomination, et cetera. Oh, and then he just shared the schedule. And so then I replied to Chad Pergram, blinking lights everywhere. We need the competence of Cash Patel at the FBI ASAP, ASAP. All right, now one thing. Speaking of blinking lights everywhere and all the threats that are everywhere, did you guys hear our conversation yesterday? Now, we had the conversation at about 7:40 in the morning. This was with Daniel Bruner, who is now has a security consulting firm called the Bruner Sierra Group. He's a former FBI Hispanic gang expert. So he knows Tren de Aragua, this violent Venezuelan illegal alien prison gang that's now operating in, what, 17-plus states across America? We told you before Christmas how the Department of Homeland Security had confirmed in a memo that the New York Post had obtained that Tren de Aragua was now operating in Montana as well, that was confirmed by the Department of Homeland Security. Again, another reason why we need a competent FBI director in place like Cash Patel. We need the competence of Cash. Now, actual cash would be nice, too. Cash money would be nice, too. But, no, we need the competence of Cash to secure this country from threats both internally and externally right now. And Cash Patel is the guy who can get the job done, which is exactly why the Democrats who flooded our borders with illegal aliens don't want Cash Patel in place. Now, I'm not going to replay the audio of our conversation with Dan Bruner from yesterday, because I played some highlights in the 9 o'clock hour as well. But he just posted a very interesting article on his Substack account talking about our northern border. So I'll tell you about that. Microphone on as I was listening in on the Fox News update there, and they mentioned Cash Patel's name, and yeah, that was me. Hey, when I heard Cash Patel's name, Kat in Sydney just sent us a message in reply to the question from Jerry in Billings. Kat says this: they have to have 30 hours of debate
once cash is out of committee. First was Tulsi. Today is RFK. So it has to be 30 hours between RFK Jr. and cash. Now, of course, it doesn't have to be 30 hours. This is the games that Senate Democrats are playing. Absolutely pathetic by Senate Democrats. Absolutely pathetic. They are putting the safety and the security of this country at risk. But then again, they did it for the last 4 years, so why would we be surprised that they'll do it for another few more days here by trying to hold up President Trump's nominees? This is exactly why they were rejected in such a major way in the November elections. And yeah, Mitch McConnell, my goodness, Mitch McConnell is still voting. Sometimes he's the only Republican voting against some of President Trump's remaining nominees here. That guy just needs to go. I mean, he is just ruining whatever reputation he had left, which is not much. But whatever reputation he actually had left, he is absolutely destroying right now. Okay, let's see. David Noble should be joining us here a little early in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, so we might air the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation a little bit earlier, so we can give David a little bit more time in the 7 o'clock hour, because we got a great guest joining us later in the 7 o'clock hour for a few minutes as well. Nancy in Roundup on the phone lines. Nancy, what's going on?
Oh, geez, there's so much. And good morning, Montana Talks family. I just have to say something about these federal judges who are trying to replace and do the job of our executive branch. They are absolutely disgusting. And I know Trump's only been in office a few weeks. Hopefully at the end of 4 years, some of these judges, they could be terminated or something done about them. Their overreach of authority. I mean, there's a, this buyout, the federal worker buyout of Trump's. Now a federal judge has put a hold on it that he's got it on the table, that it's illegal, that he can't do that. Well, yes, he can. He's the president of the United States, and he can stop spending. But I want to say something, too.
Especially
about
if it's discretionary. Discretionary.
Well, this Maxine Waters, she's another nutcase. I think President Trump should denounce that woman and put a gag order on her. She's talking about violence in the street. Democrats need to kick some ass. This woman is a lunatic. She really needs to be in a nut house someplace and not in Congress.
Yeah. Apparently she's got a nut house, multi-million dollar nut house. What is it? Close to Beverly Hills, but she claims that she still represents South Central LA. Yeah, she's looking rough too. Have you noticed? She looks like Skeletor lately. She just looks like this angry skeleton lashing out at everything. Yeah, I don't think that's working for the Democrats. Thanks for the call.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
When it comes to the judicial branch of government, Article 7, Section 1 of the Montana Constitution says, quote, "The judicial power of the state is vested in one Supreme Court, district courts, justice courts, and such other courts as may be provided by law," end quote. It's that last point we'd like to focus on today, the provision that the Constitution allows for other courts as may be provided by law. In Montana, the legislature makes the law, and today the Senate Judiciary Committee will hear Senate Bill 52, a bill to create a court of chancery. The court would consist of three judges, each appointed by the governor to a 6-year term. The court would have its central office in Helena, and single judges would hold trials in Great Falls, Billings, and Missoula. As with other courts, the Montana Supreme Court would supervise the activities of the Chancery Court judges. And although the Chancery Court has the power to create its own rules and procedures, those rules would be subject to approval of the Supreme Court. It's also worth noting that although Chancery Court judges are appointed by the governor, their nomination must be confirmed by the Senate, and they must have the same qualifications for Supreme Court justices as specified by the Constitution. All of this begs the question, why do we need a Chancery Court, and in what areas of the law will it focus? For that, we turn to the three whereas clauses of the bill itself. Clause 1 says that the legislature seeks to improve the quality and timeliness of justice afforded by the state judicial system and to improve Montana's economic competitiveness. Clause 2 says that the need to do so is particularly pressing in the areas of business law, land use law, and constitutional law. Clause 3 concludes by saying that experience both inside and outside of Montana has demonstrated that the improved quality of justice from courts with special expertise benefits the citizens of a state and improves a state's economic competitiveness. Section 2 is really the meat of the bill. It describes in detail the limited jurisdiction and powers of the court. The first is the ability of the court to hear lawsuits based on the alleged unconstitutionality or other illegality of a legislative enactment or a proposed or adopted legislative referendum or citizens' initiative. Forget all the legal jargon. This is huge. It would put an end to the practice of judge shopping by liberal groups who then get their case heard by a liberal judge whose proceedings create a terrible district court record with biased findings that then goes up to the Montana Supreme Court for their rubber stamp of approval. Especially in cases with huge constitutional implications, the hearing before the Chancery Court would create a more robust record for the Supreme Court to examine. In addition to constitutional matters, the court would also focus on land use law and cases involving the granting or denial of land use permits. And finally, with regard to business law, it would focus on cases of alleged breach of contract, restructuring, merger or sale of the assets of a business enterprise, trade secrets, binding arbitration awards, or other questions of business law that involve claims for damages and attorney's fees in excess of $80,000. In our opinion, one of the greatest strengths of the court is that it would be required by law to resolve all cases within 150 days. This would stop the common practice of judges nullifying legislative actions by issuing a temporary injunction and then sitting on the case for years. Chancery courts work well in other states, with Delaware being the prime example, and it would work well in Montana, too. It's high time that the people of Montana had access to timely justice in a high-quality court, and a Montana Court of Chancery would provide that access. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszloffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Laszloffy for another great update. Yeah, very interesting. I love this idea of a chancery court, a more business-focused court, and maybe that could alleviate some of the pressure on our criminal justice system as well. Speaking of courts, we got a great lawyer in the house right now, great conservative commentator, David Noble in the house. You can follow him on X or his Twitch TV stream at LectureFan, LCTR fan. David, great to see you. Thanks for dropping in early.
Oh, gosh, and it's been so great streaming on Twitch and YouTube lately, because every night after I go home, you know, get online, start live streaming my show, and man, there's a press conference with Donald Trump and Elon Musk in the Oval Office, or there's a Caroline Leavitt press briefing. Caroline Leavitt did a press briefing yesterday. Man, is she good. Boy, is she competent. It's so nice to have competent government officials and people that can do their job. And boy, did she put the press in their place, and so did Elon Musk and Donald Trump in the Oval Office. So the content, it's just so nice. And everybody's commenting, gosh, it is so nice to have a president again. It's so nice to be able to have a president. Because I, you know, as a political junkie, I like following the White House. And frankly, even when there were Democrat presidents, when you had a competent Democrat president, I'd like to know what the president's doing. I'd like to watch presidential statements and Oval Office addresses and you name it, because I like politics. I like America.
Yeah, like Bill Clinton. Like, who is Bill Clinton's press secretary, the well-known guy? I can't think of his name right now. But, yeah, there were good back and forth. There were good dialogue back then and everything. By the way, to your point about Caroline Leavitt, Jason in Billings just messaged us just a few minutes ago. He says, I watched the White House press conference with Caroline Leavitt, real impressed with her composure, very well spoken and prepared. Where did this 27-year-old learn such composure? How many more young people are out there like her? Good, young, conservative, well-spoken 20 and 30-year-olds. I will say there are a lot of them out there, David.
I think so, too.
My goodness. I mean, we just had Finley Warden on the show last Friday. I think he's only like 19 years old. He worked on some of the Republican campaigns this past year. He went undercover at this woke teachers union conference in Bozeman and gave a stellar report Friday on the show. If you missed it, you can go back to our podcast. But there are incredible young, especially pro-life women activists that are serving in Helena right now. I mean, Lily Meskers. What is that beep I'm hearing there? All right. It must be something on Caden's computer there. The Lily Meskers, the young, you know, journalism student at the University of Montana who exposed the—I mean, there's so many of them. I mean, go talk to the guys down at the Rockin' R, and they will tell you these young people are rocking right now.
Well, and I've also heard it's the youngest of the young generation that's really pushing back against the woke, because they're the ones that really had this nonsense pushed on them from a young age, and mm-hmm. It's like even common sense. You know what's great? Did you see some of the latest approval ratings for Donald Trump, where you've got 70% of the American people that say that Donald Trump is delivering on his promises during his campaign?
Yeah.
53% overall approval rating. But you know what I found so interesting, Aaron, is that the 65 and over demographic is the only demographic that does not approve of Donald Trump's presidency. And that matches the election results, too. The 65 and over demographic, the only demographic that voted for Harris. And
really?
And the theory behind that is that it's the 65 and older demographic is the only demographic that still reads the newspaper, that still watches the TV news, that still trusts and consumes the mainstream media. And so it's so ironic, because for a long, long time, we've been hearing, hey, it's the 65 and older crowd that's all Republicans, and you guys are going to die out. Democrats are out there disgustingly saying, like, we hope you old white Republicans die out. And then Donald Trump has flipped the script. Now the Republicans are a multiracial working class party, and a younger party. I just found that very, very odd. So now you've got the election results and the polling results showing that it's the 65 and older crowd that's pushing Democrats. It's actually the younger generations that are more Republican.
I wonder if part of it is, like, you know, growing up as a kid in the 80s and the 90s, I felt like you could see this generational divide. Now, my mom's on the right track. And she's like, she's all about Trump and everything. I'm sorry if you didn't want me to mention that on the radio, Mom. No, she's probably cool with it. But anyway, I really felt like, you know, my grandparents' generation were just, man, I just love those people. Small town, Montana, Highline, you know, and they just took care of people. He ran the local newspaper. They would do free photographs when people had their senior pictures, because they had the newspaper and good cameras, and he would take people's pictures and do them for free for senior pictures, you know. But I felt like, that, like you said, that World War II era, or at least the folks that were close to that World War II era, yeah, they were more conservative. And then you had the 60s come in, and all right. The social upheaval and the drugs and, you know, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And look, rock and roll music is cool, but it's just like, I wonder if now, you know, we've lost that World War II, or we're losing, you know, too many of that World War II, or the people close to that World War II era that were more conservative, more traditional, more patriotic. And now the older echelon is dominated by these 60s freaking washouts.
I think there's some of that. I think there's also some just normal sort of human nature, common sense. It's like if you spent your whole life where the media was not as corrupt as it is today, you spent your whole life when the Democrat Party was the Democrat Party of yesteryear, you know, it makes sense. It makes sense why you might think that, hey, yeah, these Democrats are normal Democrats.
And the media is the media that it was with
30 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. You just assume. Yeah, you know, I remember we had an elderly family member, and it's like, the other family would always joke, why does she watch CNN? It's like, if she knew what these people actually stood for, she would not watch CNN, but she would do it just because that's what you just did 40 years ago, 30 years ago.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, when you watch the media freak out over all things Donald Trump, you would think that nothing great is happening. But you know what? Every day there's something new. Even little things. I saw today that, you know, the president could claw back $4.3 billion in unspent federal funds for this ridiculous California high-speed rail project, just as he froze a billion for the perpetually delayed and derailed project during his first term as president. The unspent federal funds conceivably could be subject to cancellation by a hostile Trump administration. This is in the Fresno Bee. It's not hostile. It's a boondoggle. It's a waste of taxpayer money. And it's time to cut your losses. This thing was supposed to be done a decade ago, for crying out loud.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, you said bye-bye to big government and you want limited government. You voted for that. Well, now it's time to trim the fat from big wireless. If you are still using the big carriers, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, I ask, why are you doing that? Because my cell phone company, Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, gives you the exact same service. They use the same cell towers. You get the same 5G network. You get better customer service. And they're based here in the U.S., and you pay half the price for the exact same thing. And that's right. There's simply no need to spend $85, $100 a month per person on your wireless bill. Not when you can get unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot for just $35 a month. And by the way, the average family of four saves about $1,000 a year with Pure Talk. Make the switch. You simply dial #250. You say the keyword, save now. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, keyword, save now, from our friends at Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine and some increasing cloudiness across the region through the day today, high temperature readings to boost up into the mid-20s. For tonight, with cloudy skies, snow shower chances building into the Bozeman area. Low temperatures from 15 in Bozeman, near 10 in Billings. Then we'll see areas of light snow on Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, or you can drive high. You can run, or you can drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. Yeah, David Doble and I just had a funny conversation during the break there. And it ties in with the woke update of the week or two. Yeah, we might have, there's so many woke updates. That's why it's always fun to have David Doble in the house. Before we get to that, though, David, I did a story for our Montana Talks website yesterday. I meant to talk about this about 20 minutes ago, and then we had a great phone call from Nancy and Roundup, and then I heard the Fox News update. So then I was talking about three other things. By the way, I should mention this on the air. Again, when we talk about the fact that a majority of those 65 and older voted left, voted for Harris. We know that we're just saying the majority did
nationwide.
That. Nationwide. I'm sure the numbers are much different here in Montana. So for those of you, David and I both wanted to say that for those of you that are 65 and older, that are conservative champions, God bless every single one of you. You're fighting for the next generations. And, you know, Nancy and Roundup is one of them. I remember several years ago she called in and she was at Woodstock, I think. And so she's one of those 60s kids who, you know, didn't drink the Kool-Aid and is voting the right way. Well, so good. I wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, good for them. I think that just shows incredible independent thinking, critical thinking, and courage. You know, it's the same with somebody that goes through the indoctrination system known as law school and comes out a conservative. You kind of feel the same sort of, hey, I made it through and I'm still on the right side of things here. So good for those 60 kids.
So this was the story that I was going to add to. So I've got the story on our Montana Talks website. FBI Hispanic gang expert weighs in on Wolf Point and Bozeman arrests. I don't know if you heard that conversation, David. You might have been in the middle of some of your lawyer meetings. But some of our other listeners may have missed it. But Daniel Bruner is in Bozeman.
He recently retired as an FBI Hispanic gang expert. And it was interesting because I mentioned that there was an Aurora, Colorado connection with these three drug-related arrests, the guys with all the tattoos on their faces up in Wolf Point. And then there was a home invasion burglary with guns involved. Four people now on an ICE hold in the Bozeman jail. That happened near Belgrade. And so I'm like, home invasions. Trende Aragua specializes in that. A guy from Aurora, Colorado with tattoos all over his face and a Hispanic name. And so anyway, I asked Daniel Bruner. I said, well, what stood out to you right out the gates on both of these stories? He basically straight up said, this is Trende Aragua. This is Trende Aragua. And what he said was that now that the law enforcement is fully focused on Aurora, Colorado, TDA knows that they're focused on Aurora, Colorado. So the cockroaches are scurrying all over the place. What he says he did not expect is that Trende Aragua would move that far north, all the way up to the Fort Peck Indian Reservation. So that was fascinating insight from an FBI Hispanic gang expert. But the other thing he just shared on his Substack earlier this morning is he wrote about the Dangerous Alliance, how the Sinaloa cartel and the Hell's Angels are flooding the northern border with deadly fentanyl. Man,
wow.
Haven't even gotten a chance to read that whole thing yet.
No, that is insane.
Yeah, but I embedded it in that same story so people can find it. So I sent it out via X.
MontanaTalks.com.
Well. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Like,
wow.
You know, you think like, hey, I want to get this guy's insight on Trende Aragua. And I expected him to say, well, we don't know if these are connected. Well, you know, because, you know, people are always like, and he was like, no.
Just from the modus operandi, basically.
Yeah, straight out of the playbook here. But the fact that he was even surprised, and he said he was talking to people up in northeastern Montana because he's recently retired, so he still has a lot of friends that are, you know, operational, let's just say. So, wow, isn't that crazy?
That is really, really crazy. I mean, what are these? I mean, if you're a Venezuelan illegal alien with a bunch of face tattoos in a gang, and you're walking around Montana, how do you not get caught?
Well, that's why they target the reservations. That's why they target the reservations. And that's who is being harmed the most by this flood of illegal aliens and the other criminal drug dealers the Democrat Party has been backing. Let's be honest. They've been backing these guys. Yeah.
Well, we got to get Cash Patel in there to clean these animals out.
Can't happen fast enough. Can't happen fast enough. That's right. All right. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Too many people, including some who should know better, describe international trade flows as if they were like plumbing and water pipes. That's not just oversimplifying, it's misleading, and it takes more than a few breaths of air to explain why. One of the most important differences between economic flows between countries and those of liquids and pipes is the different currencies involved. When we buy imports from foreigners, they receive the dollars we pay them, which they can then use to buy the exports we sell. When those flows are not in balance, as the trade deficit of the U.S. demonstrates, that leaves excess dollars in the hands of foreigners. What happens at that point is varied, and it has nothing to do with plumbing. Too many dollars make them cheaper, yielding a weaker dollar. But the most common use of excess dollars is to invest them in American capital. In fact, a trade deficit can only be maintained if the so-called capital account surplus goes with it. It's a beneficial side of trade deficits that few people notice. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.